This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We're taking you out to Warburton today. You'll understand why very shortly, but it's all to do with a very interesting event space, a bespoke event space, that is going to spearhead a national equality project around marriage equality. It's a slight diversion, but nice to be able to talk to people on this program that are part of our community. Stay tuned. We're going to have a very good time. Yes, good afternoon. We are talking cravings. It's 6.5 minutes past one. It is the very first day of the 31st Olympiad, if that makes you feel any better. The Olympics on, of course. We should be talking about Brazil and Rio and Churrascaria, but God, we've done that before. Who needs to do that? We'll leave the games to do their thing, and I can be watching it for the rest of my time, because today we're going to Warburton, you know, out there near the Yarra Valley, a space that launched kind of earlier this year, that is about to launch again in its proper way, I suppose. It's called Project 3488. It's the postcode of Warburton, if my... No? Oh,
it's the number of the address.
It's the number of the Warburton Highway?
Yeah. The address, yeah.
The address. There we go. The voice in the back you can hear is that of Mark Fenwick. He's the man behind there, but also in this studio is a lighting designer, because why shouldn't we, Chris Tuckey? welcome, guys.
That's all right. Thanks a lot for having us today.
Yeah, thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about the event space first, or the space, because this was your home, I believe.
It started as a home, yes, but it quickly started getting other attention. So in went that direction, yeah.
So if we were to try and put a descriptor to it, it's an old Masonic lodge?
Correct, yeah.
What have you done to it?
I fully landscaped it, mm-hmm. and we've opened this hall right up. We've cut a hole through the floor to join the two floors so you can enjoy both areas together. There's a beautiful deck that looks over the ranges there, the Warburton Ranges. What else have we
done? It's a pretty epic project. Mark spent a couple of years pretty much stripping it back to its core, and to really highlight the beauty of it. I think it's like 1880s or something originally, Mark really just like stripped back all the crap that had been there over
and
the years.
And it features some of your work as part of its construction.
Mark approached me in, I think it was 2012, soon after I'd launched my business, and he'd really identified the work as something that would really resonate with the space.
Because you're a lighting designer, you're an artist.
Yeah, my studio is based in Fitzroy, and we make sculptural, architectural, decorative lighting pieces that sort of really resonate with spaces. And Mark had this brief to really tie two floors together, and so we made this large fixture called a phasmida, which is like bronze, copper, sculptural.
A which?
A phasmida.
Right.
That's the Latin name for the order of stick insects.
Right.
And also Greek for like apparition, so... Oh. I guess it was kind of telling that Mark,
clever lad, isn't it?
Mark picked something like that. just because of like the space and its history and its heaviness of, you know, having been like some sort of Masonic thing. It's got these weird kind of vibes.
There's a very interesting vibe in anything that's Masonic, because there's a, it's almost like it's an ancient sect of blokes who get together and nobody knows really what they do.
Yeah, secret men's business.
It's very secret men's business.
Didn't you tell me once, Mark, that there was like some room in that space, like before I got there, and it was kind of like a sealed off kind of, I don't know.
We called it the goat room.
Okay, and we won't go any further. It's been a lovely time having you all this morning. The rest of the hour is music. The goat room. Why Warburton, first of all? Because you're a city boy, from what I can understand.
Yeah, I was in Swanston Street for about 15 years. Warburton, I originally came from the country, so Warburton was a...
From that part of the country or elsewhere
in
the country?
No, from Whittlesea, actually.
North. Yep.
But, just Warburton, so beautiful. The river, the people, it's a great mix of people.
The Seventh-day Adventists?
Oh, they're right next door. I love them.
How have they coped with a debauched house of iniquity next door?
Wow.
They love it. They love it.
I think they just prefer not to know, but it's going really well. They're a great church next door. They're good. They're a good neighbour to have.
Yeah, I think it's really re-energised that kind of area because, as you know, the Seventh-day Adventists had come out to Warburton.
It was sort of like a monopoly on Warburton for a long time, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. That's the home of Sanitarium, which ended up moving to somewhere west in Sydney to manufacture, but during
isn't it now,
I think,
owned by Nestle or
some corporate tentacle kind of thing, but it did leave behind that sort of level of Seventh-day Adventist in Warburton, which is, you know, it's moving on slowly and sort of shifting. So I guess it allows for new things like this to happen.
So you bought this old lodge.
This beautiful old lodge, yes.
And then?
Just sat with it for a little while and thought about it and just thought, okay, there's a story here. Opened the whole hall up, reopened the rooms, brought it all together. And then I kind of felt like we did a few functions there and I saw something pretty special. It was like an event space that we used to go to where people would talk and get together and communicate.
Were the functions intentional or did somebody just say, oh, you know, I love this space, can I use it?
Yeah, that's how it's to happen, really. First friend, organic. Todd Beavers, had his 40th birthday there.
Yes.
And then it went on to a party for Christopher and Marty at the time, and that sort of gave us the ideas to go forth and procreate. Yes.
And so
bring in the love.
It's now a bespoke event space, which has also a number of different areas. So it's not just a square space to have a party. It's actually multi-level, multi-structure, beautifully landscaped gardens.
And breakaway areas to go to,
Hidden spaces in the gardens out the back.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't discover any of those when I was out there a few months ago.
And also, we've got these, I suppose you call them as like concertina tables that are suspended from the ceilings.
Tables are outrageous.
They can move back after dinner to open the hall up for a function or a party or a dance or a band, whatever we want to do.
Sometimes when things happen, you know, you'll sort of have like the dinner thing going on. It's a little bit kind of formal, and then as the night sort of goes on, then it's like it's time to bust out the dance floor, so everything sort of will move to the side and the DJ will come in, and then it's like then you're like, oh, I'm in like a dance hall.
Yeah,
and
but you can also be upstairs looking over onto that dance.
Well, that was the cool thing that Mark did was the space used to be just two separate floors, but he decided to cut a hole in the floor. It's about 2.5 meters wide or something, and you can look down. So the two spaces are connected, and upstairs is really quite relaxed with lounges and open fireplace and everything. So all the wild activities downstairs, but I guess another way you can get wild upstairs as well. But it's connected.
You're almost making Mark blush. It is 30
I'm
minutes
just having
past
some memories.
One here on Joy 94.9. We'll take a brief respite and we'll be back to talk more about Project 3488 and a project that these guys are launching, which is fairly exciting. You're on Cravings with me, Pete Dillon, on Joy 94.9. New to Joy podcast, The Informer, chat to Victoria's Gender and Sexuality Commissioner Rowena Allen and look into the Globe Community Grants and Award nominations. Sonia the Screamer chats to director Damien Power as part of the Melbourne International Film Festival 2016 on a sci-fi and a scream. Broad discuss issues surrounding homelessness in Melbourne. And after 140 shows, it's farewell to Jim, Steph and James as they present their final episode of Is Nothing Sacred? And LA Spins brings you the latest Hollywood goss in this exclusive to Joy weekly installment. Joy podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and via iTunes. Share them with your friends and your followers today.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
I'm in the studio with Chris and Mark Fennick. You are sitting at home or in your car on your way to IKEA to buy some more tea towels, because you do need them. We are talking about Project 3488, a bespoke event space in Warburton that didn't quite start out as a bespoke event space, but now it is. How many events did you do out there, boys, Mark and Chris? How many events if you were to look at a calendar and say, right, this month we've got six, and are they all...
You've had a few down your belt already.
We've had a few down our belt. We've been doing a test, doing a bit of a test of the waters to see what fits with us.
But you've only just signed some permits, I understand.
Yeah, our permits have just come through last week, so we're very, very excited.
So now you can launch.
We can.
Need to have a party.
Our website's going up next week. Yes. Yeah, well, we should, actually. Time for a new party.
Yeah.
Well, we had to.
Any excuse...
Yeah, no, it's been really good. I mean, we had our staff party there last year, and that was really nice to have, like, it was about 22 people, and all beautifully sort of catered and edible.
Who does the food and beverage? Where does that come from?
We can work with any caterer. We do have our preferences out in the valley. We've been working with Locavore Studios.
And their food is outstanding.
Jessie, I love Jessie.
She's a darling.
Yes. She's just, the love for this, what she does is amazing, so... She's brought a chef into the venue.
Excellent. Yeah. So, and if this wasn't planned, then how much work did you have to do on growing the kitchen space or growing the preparation space so that you could do events of some size?
Well, we kind of thought in the back of our minds pretty quickly, we got a commercial kitchen in place, but I'm also thinking of taking that kitchen outdoors now. We want to do a pop-up outdoor grill. Yes.
Mark space. Never really actually finishes on the space. It's sort of like a constant evolution. Yeah, so there's always like
or
one
just
idea.
Or you're like a kid with ADHD that just needs a new shiny thing to work on.
Pretty much, yeah.
Definitely.
Got the fidgets. Yeah.
How long did it take to pull it together? Because you said it was a couple of years. You sort of bought it, you sat there, you looked at it, and then...
Look, it's been a work in progress for 4 years now. There's still a little bit to do, but we're nearly there.
Yep.
So, just some teething
areas.
It's
been blood, sweat and tears. Like, as I was saying before, I met Mark in 2012, and I went up to Warburton at that point, and, you know, it was in that stripping demolition kind of space. But it's taken, like, you know, getting tuck pointing done, like steel work done.
What is
done.
Tuck pointing?
Tuck pointing is when
sounds
you have
like something a drag queen would do.
It's when Bryn stood out and did the whole of that building for, I don't know, about 2 years, taking out all of the mortar and replacing the mortar and then doing all the tuck work detail.
It's on the brickwork. So when you look at really old buildings, especially Victorian terraces, you might notice sometimes there's a little white line between the bricks and it's very delicate.
Raised.
That's tuck pointing. So there's a guy that sits there. It usually is a guy that actually just tucks, sits there like some crazy dude for years.
The size of a toothbrush on a two-story building.
It's kind of OCD in building gone mad.
OCD / autism spectrum.
Kind of, yeah.
But it's absolutely spectral. Beautiful.
But, I mean, that's the sort of detail that Mark has gone over the years to get his space like that.
Tell me about the lady with the bottle of wine and the bananas. Where is she going?
Oh. She pops out every now and then.
So on the front of the building, she's
that
there.
Was just for your night. That
oh,
you
was it really?
To. Yeah, that was just a little invitation to come in.
Really? So that's not there all the time?
No. These things change. Nothing's the same.
So for those people who are playing at home, of course, that was a piece of art that sat on the front of the building, and it was a lady in sort of, you would imagine, sort of 50s, 60s, sensible big girl pants.
Yes.
Walking down the hallway, like away from the camera, walking down the hallway with a hand of bananas over her shoulder and a bottle of wine, which sort of made me wonder what she was going to do with either of them.
She definitely was kind of like that kind of iconic sort of person that would be, you know. It's kind of like putting up all these questions of, like, what is this space? What actually kind of goes on? And I think that's important, is to sort of, like, leave it up to a lot of interpretation.
Is that part of the deal, is that the space is really what you want it to be? And if you're not asking questions and you don't get it?
Yeah. And also, too, we can personalise that space. Really personalise that space. It's never the same space twice. Well, the fact that
trapeze is hanging from the ceiling.
You name it, we've done it.
funny you say that, Pete, because when I first worked with Mark to do the lighting feature in the centre, he was just like, oh, I want like a trapeze thing to hang down here and a silk, and I want it to drop down and go through the floor and do all this. And I was just like, oh my God, this guy's cooked.
Make your
like,
mind
he's,
up.
He's really pushing it.
Right,
yeah. But, you know, you need that kind of vision.
Because I can imagine that. So how long ago were we out there? Months.
Yeah, probably about
so there was this space, and I could just almost envision sitting around the table. It was quite over the top, if you will. And I could have just imagined somebody coming down on one of those bits of string, some scantily clad lad doing a bit of in-the-air gymnastics while we were trying to eat.
We had a few on the table.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Well, what about that time at, I think it was Marty's one. Oh, I think it might have been Benjamin. It had this performer covered head to toe in this most beautiful black sequined outfit. Like the eyes,
fitted
everything covered.
Which, body
is that one of that? That's
thing.
One of the Chunky Move.
Yes.
Yeah, performers. Because
yes.
I think the night we're out there was black.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Black just, and gold.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But amazing to see these kinds of like figures contorting over tables and everything, and people just going, "What is this?" You know.
Did you deliberately set out to be confrontational, or is that just who you are as?
No, I think we sort of set out to be accepting, really. That was the premise for this place, to open for all people, really. And we've had a Sevi wedding in there. We've had them all. We had a 24-hour red wedding. That was pretty amazing.
Modeled on the Game of Thrones wedding?
No, not quite, but that could be a good idea. Ouch. Maybe we could put that out
the
there,
the red
too.
Wedding?
Yeah, the red wedding. Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, so
very important in the Game of Thrones story,
well,
the red wedding.
Fit the space. Yeah. It's
pretty strong. It definitely feels medieval at times.
It strikes me as something that could be Bacchanalian, Roman, you know, whole beasts on the table and...
Yeah,
people stabbing with
hams
forks and
hanging
winches
out
with boobs
yeah,
and
swords and stuff. Yeah, but you've also got that touch of like Twin Peaks, which is the setting of the area.
Oh, I like that, Chris.
Yeah, but I've always sort of felt that way about Warburton because it's like there's no McDonald's, there's no contemporary kind of like crap
cultural
like that
pop references
that's there. So it's sort of like faded a little bit.
It's like a little bit somewhere between Twin Peaks and Deliverance, especially when you do
no
the
banjos,
river run.
Please.
No, it's wonderful. You can hear them in the distance.
You love it. That's probably what attracted you out there, wasn't it?
This is not a really good selling point, is it?
No, it is. And I think that's one of the things about the space is that giving people the idea or trying to form an idea in someone's head about what this space is means that you're creating, and we were talking about this outside, and we're going to get to this, creating boxes. You're creating compartments for people to try and determine if that's where their thing could sit. What we really need to talk about is how flexible and adaptable and nimble the space is so that it really can be anything.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be proscribing what it could be when it could be anything.
Well, that's what we're finding too. It's been great for live theatre, and it's beautiful when we do theatre there or performance because it's in the round. You're part of it. The audience is part of the performance. Mm. It's very interactive, and it's, I don't know, quite astonishing.
Mm. But
sometimes in that environment when I'm watching the performers, especially when we do our Hear No Evil parties, I have goosebumps being that intimate.
What are Hear No Evil parties?
Oh, our Hear No Evil parties. Hear No Evil, Speak No Evil. We only do them maybe a couple of times a year. Depends when we can get everybody together. But we have amazing performers that come together. We have, I suppose, the matriarch of the show, which is Agent Cleave, who's presently touring with Peaches.
Yep.
Who really just brings this family together. There's Benjamin Hancock, there's James Andrews, Betty Grumble joined us this year from Sydney. She just blew my mind. My Maltese cousin, actually, she's half Maltese too, or Maltese. So that was nice.
What was your background before you decided to do this? What are you trained to do? What's your job?
Which bit?
Well, I'm asking the question. I'm curious.
Oh, well, I started life as a graphic designer, illustrator, then moved into photography, then started doing shop fit-outs, nightclub fit-outs, and tried a little bit of everything. And I think all of those things brought me to this project, which has been...
And you've been able to utilise all those skills, clearly.
I was even a cleaner for a long time, and I'm glad I learnt that trade, because
there's a lot of cleaning.
It's a big building.
Well, it is a big space. It would take, I imagine, a bit of effort to
those
clean.
Daddy long legs just do my head in.
And they breed prolifically.
Oh, they just make these webs that just can't reach.
No, but Mark's very particular. Oh, he's like, you know, there's this OCD-ness that sort of comes through the space. But I reckon I see that, like, your whole life of, like, having come from that kind of background. And you I've only known Mark for 5 years. Yeah.
Look, when I was a kid, Dad used to make me put white cotton gloves on to pick up a record to play it. So we had some... we were learned to respect and look after things, that's for sure. But I kind of like that now, too.
And, Chris, why are you so passionate about the space?
Because it's just lovely, you
know. Practically moved in.
I was like, "This is my weekender," you know.
Nice weekender.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Chris takes the little bungalow out in the garden, which seems to be his.
Yeah, there's a cute little bungalow down by these cute little ponds, and I, I just work a lot in the city, and it's really nice to just escape. So I call Mark, and I'm like, what are you doing this weekend? You got nothing? I'm coming out.
And you live in this space. This is your home.
Yes, it's always been
my
home.
So when you've got people coming in to celebrate an activity, an event, something important to them, what do? You just pack up and go and take a hotel?
Take just a bungalow, usually.
Pretty much just hide my undies and socks. And put a few specific items away, but pretty much, no. I think it takes people a while to work out what the space is, but I think that kind of endears them to the space a little bit. It gives it a very comfortable feeling. It's different.
It's very
intimate. It's definitely not a generic event space. It's very personalised. And
it's more like just a really big home.
A lot of beautiful detail that goes into it. Yeah.
We shall talk about this a bit further, and we'll also speak shortly about the Equality Project. So Project 3488 is P-R-O-J-E-K-T for those playing at home. Project 3488. We'll talk more about this and the Equality Project very shortly. We're going to have a little bit of music just to give you an interlude from all of these white blokes talking. It's 27 minutes past one. You're on Craving. It's here on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news, and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now. joy.org.au.
This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. Why did I play a song called Fantasy? Because that's really what Project 3488 is about. It can be everybody's own little fantasy space to do whatever they like.
That is so true.
And given you're all so flexible out there, I really mean you can actually probably quite literally do what you like. Let's talk about something that's come from this. So we, a couple of weeks ago, through Brooke, who does your PR, talked a little bit about... creating a bit of a competition for Joy listeners initially, to win the opportunity to have their wedding, a gay wedding, a same-sex wedding, I should say, at your space when it's legalised.
Correct.
Did we create a monster starting that discussion?
I hope so. I really do.
Because what has happened from there is Project Equality.
Yes.
Talk to me about how Project Equality started, because I think this, obviously that very simple discussion I had has turned into something that's far more profound for you guys.
Well, it really started with couples that were coming into the venue to get married, and quite often they talked to me about how they were holding back their wedding for so long. One in particular is Taryn and Arno that came to us. Mm. They really wanted to wait until it was equal for all. And I kind of started thinking about that. And then I've enjoyed the functions we're doing for other people, but I thought, wouldn't it be nice if we could do it for ourselves too? Mm. I mean, we've got this fantastic space that's just very private, very comfortable, very safe, and really just for any function, it's just a really beautiful venue to sort of come together. So that's where this sort of started. We really wanted to...
You really wanted to create something that would sort of stand up and say, you know, we want to be part of moving these things forwards, you know. I mean, my personal view is that, you know, we do need to put pressure on parliamentarians. We need to have that conversation constantly until we get what we need. And
I don't even think it's need. I think it's until we get what is right, what we deserve.
And fair.
And fair.
Absolutely.
Basic. Yep.
So I guess that was... you know, did you create something? Well, I mean, things really start with conversations and then just keeps growing. And I think having that kind of every little step anyone can kind of take, you know, mark with an event space, still pushing that forwards, you know, people on the streets, people writing things, no matter what it is. Yeah, I think everybody has the power to be able to, you know, really push these things forwards.
And I think our first responsibility is to actually stop this plebiscite happening in the first place.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going to paraphrase John Howard from 2004.
Oh, great.
Where he actually said this is a job basically for the Parliament to prevent same-sex couples getting married. So it was the Marriage Amendment Bill of 2004. Mm-hmm. And he actually talks, there's quite an interesting piece where he says it is the job of parliamentarians to make this change.
Absolutely.
So I'm starting to use that back, and I keep tweeting it to Malcolm Turnbull and various other members of his front bench, that it is the duty of the parliamentarians to make the change.
Our taxes pay their wages.
Correct. And that's what it's an abrogation of their responsibility by saying, why don't we give it to the Australian public to do? People know very well where I sit on this on this issue, and I don't think that there is going to be what we want to achieve with a plebiscite. It has to be a binding vote in the Parliament. It has to be a free vote. Mm. It has to be a vote that is based on conscience, and it has to be a vote where people don't have to be seen to be voting for the right thing.
Mm. Absolutely.
So if it's a silent, I don't care how they do it, they can put a freaking post-it note in a box for all I care and get a result. So let's go back to the Equality Project, because this has sort of stemmed from the idea of, well, we'll give somebody a wedding, to the point where it's extraordinary what you want to create, so people can enter this competition, and basically you're going to just lay on this incredible event.
Really, I think it's just about celebration, you know. Yeah. At the end of the day, all of our community really loves to party, and I think that a space like this is really, like, appropriate for it. And I think that's where Mark was really wanting to go with it, just going, you know, he's had all this feedback from friends, and even didn't you have a tarot reader, Mark, that had told you something?
God bless Teacup. She's been a gem. I wouldn't do anything without consulting Teacups now.
So Teacups is your psychic?
Yeah.
Right.
Introduce my accountant to her yesterday. It was
That's always going to be fun, introducing an accountant to a psychic.
The look on his face, that was just something else.
That was a funny story, Mark. Tell us what you...
Well, Teacups brought me to this venue.
How so?
Well, my ex-partner at the time went to see her for a reading, and he recorded it. He took his phone in and recorded it.
Yes.
And I remember when he got back out, he was really angry because she spent 40 minutes talking about me. I got more than half. Fun. So basically, yeah, the story starts from there. But she described this building to me and to Steve, basically. And I think I went and saw her a few weeks later. I can't remember how it went from there, but we just got right into it. Basically, that was the building for me.
So she saw you in this building?
She sure did. She saw us open it up. She saw us develop the garden. She kept commenting on the garden. The garden will bring people in. But it's been a combination. We've had amazing people come together to contribute to this space. Beautiful, amazing paintings, original paintings by Katrina Rhodes.
Her art is extraordinary.
Oh, beautiful. I just love it.
Yeah, I've got a crush on her.
And so is she, an extraordinary woman. So, we've had all sorts of people from amazing builders, everybody that contributed to that space. It's been a big project.
And so to go back to the Equality Project...
Yes, sorry.
No. I'll just drag you back where I want you to be.
That's all right.
Let's bring it down to Tic Tac. So what you're suggesting is what's on offer. Let's go through that. So it's as a celebration for the passing of an Australian Marriage Equality Act, or actually the repeal of the Marriage Amendment Bill of 2004.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to award, and this is the announcement, the official announcement today of this competition.
Oh, it's so exciting.
We should have had a drum roll. So gardens, catering, flowers, photography, alcohol, just to deliver an unforgettable event. And you're willing to wait until this act is changed?
Absolutely willing to wait.
So if it's 3 or 4 years, you've got this competition to build up.
Build up.
If it takes that long, I think we're going to have to get a little bit more severe about standing up for our rights.
I think
get a bit
so
more
too.
Fierce.
I give it 6 months, 12 months tops. Like, really, if it's any longer, seriously, what are they doing?
Well, if it's any longer, it makes a mockery of democracy.
Yeah, yes. Pretty much.
Because they weren't elected with a huge mandate.
I mean, what happens when it's like 48% of the population doesn't get you know, heard when you have these kinds of, like, things getting voted. And it's like, you know...
And what's alarming is that, as many people will tell you, 70% of the population are there about in all sorts of polls. Yeah. These are polls with Christians, these are polls with people who vote for the Liberal Party, these are polls, yeah. all sorts of polls. It's around 70% of the population supported.
Wow.
Christians are favourable, support yeah. it, because those people who are real Christians actually believe in, you know, compassion and forgiveness and all of those sorts of things. The majority of Liberal Party voters support it.
Yeah.
So why we have a government that's not willing to act?
What are we waiting for? Like, I thought we're supposed to be a progressive country.
No.
Like,
we're not progressive. We're still worried about ISIS coming and taking over.
Oh, God.
So we're spending all our money on terrorism.
Oh, boring. Dear. Boring. Why don't we spend it on celebration and, like, you know, enjoying the life that we have? Actually, a quote that comes to mind, was it Winston Churchill? That famous quote where they're talking about cutting...
We shall fight them on the beaches.
No, the other one where they're just like, oh, we've got to cut the arts budget or something during war. Mm. And he's like, well, what are we fighting for?
Exactly. What are we fighting for? You know, I think it was Churchill. Fantastic. He also said it will be long and hard and there'll be no withdrawals.
Oh, yeah.
I kid you not, that's a Winston Churchill
quote. For real?
Yeah, I'm not being dirty.
Oh, God, that's
he
awesome.
Was talking about the war, but, you know, you can take that anyway. Like, 18 minutes to 2 here on Joy 94.9. We've got more of the Equality Project to talk about with my guests right here on your favourite gay and lesbian radio station.
Hi, I'm Anna De Silva, and you're listening to Cravings with Pete Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9. We are talking about Project 3488. It is a beautiful bespoke event space in Warburton. We don't quite often get out of the CBD because I'm a bit lazy. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to be able to bring to you a bit of a discussion about how this space was thought about, designed and put together. And it has now been the launch of of Project Equality, which is the work of some very hard-working and very thoughtful people who don't support a plebiscite into marriage equality, because nobody should be playing with our lives, no. is the short answer. We were talking just before those announcements about a John Howard quote and a Winston Churchill quote. Mm-hmm. It'll be long and hard and there'll be no withdrawals. It was an extension of the we will fight them on the beaches speech of Winston Churchill's.
Fantastic.
Oh, okay.
But this one we were talking about, the definition of marriage is something that should rest in the hands of the Parliament of the Nation.
John Howard.
John Howard, 2004. When proposing his amendments to the Marriage Act, which actually stated that marriage is only between one man and one woman, to the exclusion of all other. So that is the Marriage Amendment Bill of 2004, and that was the words of the then Prime Minister.
Just repeal it.
Well, just use that as your mantra now. The definition of marriage is something that should rest in the hands of the Parliament of the Nation, because it's frightening what is actually going to occur.
Well, yeah. It's just a waste of energy and resources.
And money.
Yeah.
God.
So ridiculous.
They're talking about $160 million. It's more like $520 million that this is going to cost. And they are going to fund...
No.
They are going to fund a no vote as much as they're going to fund a yes vote.
That's ridiculous.
Don't fund it at all. Let the lobby groups fund it.
Mm.
If that's what needs to happen, it's not the responsibility of the Australian taxpayer to be paying for such waste. Anywho.
It's like a fix.
There are some people that aren't going to agree with us, but, you know...
Call us. Let us know.
Well, yes. They can send a text to 0427JOY949 if they don't agree. Or they can email onair@joy.org.au. Or if you have sitting there the app in your little hand on your phone, you can come to us straight via the app and be in touch. So all the ways to be in touch with our programs all afternoon, all weekend, all week. I'm just thinking more about this Equality Project and how long it's going to take and how we can make it work. This is going to be nationwide, or how is it going to work? I'm having some trouble with some terms and conditions that need to be written for this from a legal point of view. And I'm also struggling a little bit with how the actuality of this is going to exist.
Well, I guess it's a work in progress.
Excellent.
Really.
It's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress.
Inspired by this interview.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And we've got a tremendous team behind it. Chris Harris has started this website for us.
Mm.
In fact, he worked all night on it for us. I think, I'm not sure how this will grow, but that's the beauty of not knowing. We can just see where this goes. I mean, maybe other people will join in with us in other states to do this as well. It's open to all.
I think the idea is again, bring it back to the idea of celebrating the fact that we will, you know, have it legalized or repealed or, you know, parliamentarians doing their jobs, .com, whatever it is. But at that kind of point, I think we will have a massive celebration in Australia. You know, I mean, well, you saw that in Ireland, yes, you saw it in the United States.
We saw it in Spain back in 2004 or 2005. We saw it in Canada. We've seen it in Pitcairn Island. I don't know if you're familiar with Pitcairn Island, which is sort of halfway. If you left the bottom of New Zealand and decided to make a straight line all the way across to South America, about halfway across sits Pitcairn Island.
Wow.
Again, a very strong Seventh-day Adventist community in Pitcairn Island. Oh, wow. Marriage equality exists in Pitcairn Island.
Wow, in that little rock in the ocean.
It does not exist here.
On our wide brown
Argentina,
lands.
Uruguay, South Africa.
Wow.
I could go on. We are the only primarily English-speaking nation on the planet that does not have marriage equality as part of law.
Wow.
Outrageous.
Thank you, Liberal Party.
Yeah.
Well, we can't just blame the Liberal Party, though. It's not a Liberal Party thing. The Labor Party colluded back in 2004. Nicola Roxon's hands are dirty.
Yeah, right.
In that there was that collusion in 2004 to push that marriage amendment bill through the Parliament. So it had the support of Labor to happen, which means that we can't just say it's the Liberal Party, it's not just the Tories, it's not Conservatives, because this was actually done by people we thought were on our side.
Wow.
So the power is there now to fix it. It's got to be done. And so what's... give me an idea in your head of the ultimate wedding celebration that's going to happen when somebody wins this.
Definitely lots of flowers.
Right, flowers. Always a good start.
Look, once this starts building momentum, I can't imagine who might contribute to this day or this celebration.
Well, how do you want people to contribute? Because
in any way they can.
This program isn't due by industry as much as it is by anybody else.
Well, I guess I guess the space itself can hold how many people, Mark?
We could do 150.
Yeah, and then you can spill out onto the deck upstairs, which holds another 100, and you've got the garden. So, you know, I don't think we could have thousands of people.
No.
Let's just, you know, give it some boundaries.
We might have to get a temporary license for such an event, but I'm sure that'd be grand.
So let's say you've got 150 of your nearest and dearest that you can put up on the deck, first of all, for a glass of fizz or... You know, the options are limitless, but there's room for 150 people to be downstairs and have a meal together with the groom and groom or bride and bride.
Yes.
And then?
And then, well, we transform this venue into a party.
Wind back the tables and... Do the tables go up or do they go to the side?
They go up and they go back and they sit back to the side of the room like bleachers. So basically, we can sit on those. We've also used the tables as a stage. I mean, depending on how we want to do it.
People actually perform on them. And I guess that's how this wedding that's going to happen within 12 months, because we're going to make it happen.
Let's be positive.
Let's be positive about it. Mm. I could really imagine like incredible performers like contorting around people and, you know, just lots of
people hanging
champagne
from the ceiling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Swinging from the chandeliers. Can
gallons
we not have that?
And gallons of champagne.
Isn't that what we kind of deserve?
Well, I think it's what we kind of want, but, you know, maybe some people don't. I don't know.
That's okay. We could have a, like, you know, straight edge vegan hardcore
and
wedding
as well.
You
could. And I'm also questioning if there is if there are people who believe in the traditional kind of structure of marriage or who want to have that service up on the deck and a sit down, the formal meal and speeches and a cake and all of all that sort way of stuff, then it's all possible as well.
We can go any which direction it needs to go. Sometimes parties break out just because they're spontaneous there, which is fantastic. Yeah. It's very versatile, depending on what your needs are there, really. Mm.
What's been the biggest challenge in doing all of this? I know it's always a silly question and, you know, it's like, oh, goodness, we ran out of money or whatever it might be. What's been the biggest challenge?
What hasn't been a challenge?
What hasn't been a challenge? Yeah, I think there's...
Mark would occasionally call me going, oh, my God, there's a meltdown here or, you know, this is going on. I was like, oh, well, here we are. It's like a country practice or, like, some other kind of,
a country,
like...
country practice.
Well, that was actually Wandon reported just down the road from
it
there.
It was.
Funnily enough.
It was in Wandon. I think the biggest challenge there was first understanding my community and where I was and how I fitted into that space. And then also...
Or how, and I want to go back to an earlier conversation, how you didn't fit into that space because you don't really care for labels.
No.
So when we use the whole LGBTIQA,
the
whatever
alphabet
comes next,
yes,
there, is there an all-encompassing term that you would rather use that sort of fits all of us into that big melting pot?
Well, we were saying before, you know, what about the term human?
Yeah, like, that's a good way
really,
to start. Yep.
Essentially, we're people and we all have common DNA, and that's expressed in different kind of ways. And I think people really get lost within and outside of these labels. You know, I am cis gender, I am this, you are that, da da da, and that starts division. And when once we have those divisions, people start getting like, you know, oh, I'm on this side of the table,
or I sit, or I conform and sit in this particular pigeonhole.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people,
and we're like, not postage.
Yeah, we're definitely.
And the interesting thing in a country town, you can't be biased to anybody. You have an event or something like that. Well,
and you're going to get all kinds.
You are,
because it does take all kinds to make a village,
and it's kind of really colourful and fantastic, really.
And that's what's amazing about it is like you have to work with your neighbours or your small community, because everybody knows each other just by virtue of the fact that it's an intimate town.
Would this be the same business? Would it have the same model? Would you be as happy and comfortable and excited if this was in Fitzroy?
I think it works better for where it is. I think the effort that's involved to come, the fact that it's a one-stop shop, it just brings people together. There's nowhere else to there's nothing else to distract you. It's about that night. So,
and that space.
Yeah, and I think that lends itself to being out in the country. That's
yeah.
It's,
yeah,
it's a beautiful place in the country.
It's
only an hour. What's that?
But it's still, I mean, like being outside of our little ghetto bubbles that we really get used to. You know, I live north side, you know, I've got some friends that live south side. You know, we sort of operate in there.
Westie.
We get very comfortable. You're a Westie, yeah.
Inner West. But
someone's got to do the West, right?
Exactly. But I think a little bit of fabulous to the inner West.
Excellent. I think it's really good to break outside of that sort of ghetto. And I think that's where Mark's project has really sort of like pushed that kind of boundary.
And it's something we as a community are very good at, creating ghettos.
Yeah. Yes. And then before you know it, you actually have the support of these people from this small town that you otherwise would not have connected with.
And at the same time, you're quite possibly changing people's minds or opinions or swaying some of those
just generally, just generally.
Yeah, because they may have to start to think about, perhaps these guys aren't all so evil.
Is that all? I want to be part of that too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It is 5 minutes to two here on Joy 94.9. This is Cravings. I'm Pete Dillon. We'll be back in just a moment before we take you travelling with the escape pod. And I believe it's all pedal pushers and things as they head out on the Great Victorian Bike Ride. I'm rather glad it's them and not me. We'll be back in just a tick.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLD, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
We have been talking about Project 3488. It is at 3488 Warburton Highway in Warburton. Is that the correct address?
Exactly.
So it's a nice little stop on your way to the Yarra Valley, or past the Yarra Valley.
Through. It's part of the Yarra Valley.
Part of the Yarra Valley.
Yeah,
there
it's
you
actually
go.
The origins of the Yarra River.
Yes.
Because that's a beautiful little stream, and there's a really nice pub there as well. Isn't there?
The Alpine.
Yeah,
there's a few different things up this way. Yes.
Yeah, it's good to stop on the way to skiing as well if you're going to go skiing that way.
Oh, tobogganing up on Mount Donabuang is fantastic.
Yeah.
Great. That's a lot of fun.
So it comes the time where we have to hand out websites and telephone numbers and all of that if we need to. So let's start with Project 3488, and the website is under development. So when are we launching?
We're launching next week.
So is it going to be project3488.com, or are we going to put in the Squarespace in there?
.com.au.
Yep.
Project, the number 3, the number 488, because you can go in and do a little bit of your own research. The other one, which I think is also important, is all the W's, Equality Project with P-R-O-J-E-K-T. So we're putting a K in instead of
the C. It all works with the C as well.
Oh, does it?
Because we thought about that, and we're like, that might be a little bit confusing. But
so equalityproject.com.au, where people can find out more about the competition as well. And now the next Hear No Evil party, should we look out for that? When's it likely?
I think it'll be coming in when it gets a bit warmer, so we're looking November, December.
I think about my birthday night.
Once we can get the gang back together, when they've stopped touring overseas and can come together to bring the family together, it will be the next party. But we'll give
excellent
about 6 to 8 weeks' notice.
Good. And where will we find that notice?
You can check it on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Project 3488 on either of those platforms.
Do people want to be finding your lighting or your studio?
Oh, yeah. ChristopherBoots.com. Just located on Gore Street in Fitzroy.
Excellent.
And Napier Street if you want to stop by and look at some, I don't know, sculptural pretty things.
Yeah, some cool
lights. And come in.
There's actually something in there I wanted to steal that night, so I'm going to have to come back and point it out and show you what it is, because it's still
there. I'll have my eyes on you again.
Yeah, because I didn't steal it.
Just watching. Hopefully...
The problem was going to be getting it on the bus, getting it off the bus, getting it on the bus, getting it off the bus again. It would have been hilarious, so no.
Chris, I think Pete's been looking in your windows again.
Oh, those little bitches.
Oh, naughty, naughty.
It's all right. Oh, well, got a good lock and key, you know, it's all protected there. But, yeah, I mean, my space is quite interesting too. We even had a little thing where people would stop off at my studio because it is, again, kind of semi-domestic interesting.
Yes.
And then get on that bus and then head off to
Warburton. Drinking gin all the way to Warburton. What a lovely thing to do.
Absolutely.
Guys, thank you for coming and joining me. Good luck with the project.
Thank
and we'll keep people abreast of the Equality Project as well. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
The kids on the escape pod, Joe's in there, Russ is in there, Gibson the dog is in there. They're going to get on their bike. I was going to make a reference to Fat Bottom Girls, but I think Russ would look through the window and give me a bit of a dirty grimace. They're taking you on the Great Victorian Bike Ride on the Escape Pod. Thank you for your company again today. I'll be back next week. Until then, try and keep yourself nice. You've been listening to Cravings on Joy 94.9. I am Pete Dillon. Have a very pleasant afternoon.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.